Pastor Michael, we're in a series discussing questions about heaven and hell. And today's question is, what will the new earth be like?
Okay, thanks for the loaded question. So here's what we can't do. We cannot be like super exhaustive because the scriptures have so much to say on this. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a couple episodes, like what are some things that are going to be different? What are our bodies going to be like? Will our bodies be like Jesus? So let me just kind of take some time and let's give a primer, sort of like an introduction. And if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'd actually like to know more, we'll release some more episodes on this and you can go deeper. Mm-hmm. But 2 Peter 3:13 says this, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth. Remember, the heavens, it's not where God dwells, it's the sky and the stars, right? Mm-hmm. All this physical realm. We're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Mm. Righteousness seems to be lacking in this world, but all you're going to have in this new earth is going to be righteousness. That's a crazy kind of thought to wrap your head around, because everything we do is tainted with sin in one way or another. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And it's interesting because Paul's mindset is like this. However bad the bad is, when you get there, the shadow of goodness and glory that is cast, this won't even seem like that bad. Like you'll be like, if I had to go through this to get to that, I'd go through this and worse to get to that.
Any day,
You know, and like, I don't want to mitigate anybody's suffering, but Paul's life was literally very, 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 very difficult. He could compete with probably the worst victim, you know, in our day. And he would say, after having a vision into what this looks like, he's like, oh, if this is what I have to go through to get that, that's worth it.
It's absolutely worth it.
Absolutely worth it. So, all right, a couple things that we know. Let me share just a few big categories. So number one, the new creation will be, and I love this phrase, beyond our wildest dreams. Typically we think of like a vacation beyond your wildest dreams, right? Yeah. So, and here's the problem about beyond our wildest dreams. We can't dream beyond our wildest dreams.
Right.
You know, so the Apostle Paul gets a vision into kind of this new world, right? And here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Hmm. So what's striking about this question is even as we try to answer it, whatever we try to answer, it's beyond our imagination. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so different. And yet it is earth. Hmm. And yet it is like water is water and people are people and animals are animals and grass is grass. And yet whatever it is, it's recognizable, but it's so much different. It's beyond our wildest imagination. I don't know who said this, and maybe I did, but it was in my notes. And so I think it'd be worth saying, but whatever your greatest joy on earth, it is but a foretaste of the smallest joy in eternity. So I wrote that a long time ago and I don't remember if I quoted somebody. So if you're out there and I quoted you, consider yourself credited. So number one, it will be beyond our wildest imagination. Number two, and I love this idea, it will be a curseless home. And so everything is cursed. Our bodies are cursed. Our relationships are cursed. Sexuality is cursed. All of creation is cursed. Death pervades everything. Like I love this principle that if you just give the world enough time, all the energy in the entire world will inevitably burn out. It will be one big black nothingness for all of eternity. Everything is on an inevitable destination to death, darkness, and coldness, period. And so the idea that the entire trajectory of every molecule, every atom, everything in all of creation is going to be halted. And it is going to be now one of life and one of eternal life. That's a, it's really hard to imagine.
We don't have categories for that.
Yeah. Like what do you do when every cell in your body is on a trajectory of death? You know what I mean? That's just like, what does it mean for every cell in my body, let alone the entire universe to be on a trajectory of life? I can't even process like what that would look like. But natural disasters, you know, never have to see the curse of those, death, decay, creation that cooperates with us. Like remember Adam and Eve sinned and everything got difficult.
Birth, instead of making it difficult.
Birth was hard. Work was hard. And now our bodies and creation work with us. Like, oh, how fun would it be to work the land if everything you did just...
Yeah, everything was fruitful.
That would be a blast, you know? It would be so good. Finally, number three, again, this is not meant to be exhaustive. This is meant to be more encouraging, pushing people onto a route of studying more. But the new creation will be the full convergence of the physical and the spiritual. Hmm. And so
I love that.
Yeah. Like essentially what happens in the fall of Adam and Eve is where God and Satan, who is an angel, you know, and people are all together. There's just one place. There's no division. It's kind of the fullness of reality is completely experienced in that mm-hmm. moment. And the moment they sinned, this reality was separated. The physical and the spiritual became two things that were just like literally, like we've never seen angels. We've never seen demons, you know. And to bring these things back together so that like all of reality, because right now the spirit realm is reality and the physical realm is reality. Yeah. To live in a world where all of reality is visible, experiential, engageable, like that's a crazy thought, which is why Paul's like, even if just the new earth had angels that you could interact with, like that would be enough to be beyond our wildest imagination, you know? Because when we think of angels, like we often think like they all look the same. Well, that is not the case. They have names and personality and they look different. And just because many of them might have similar shapes does not mean they're the same size or the same facial appearance or the same voice, you know, like even just the diversity of personality. I mean, like really thinking through what the new earth could be like when you converge the spiritual and physical, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And the fact that, as you pointed out, like Adam and Eve were the only ones to experience the world before what we know it as now. And I love that idea of the fact that those things are going to be coming back together the way they were always designed to be, like the return to Eden, right?
Which is, I mean, the Bible starts in a garden, it ends in a garden, and we end where we finish, you know? Mm-hmm. What I think is super interesting is that if you look at the genealogies in Genesis, Adam and Eve lived for centuries. Mm-hmm. And so the amount of people on the planet that would have had access to them, to interview them, talk to them, hear their stories, it was centuries of generations that had full access to Adam and Eve to hear the story about what happened in the garden. Yeah. And I imagine there's a lot of people who are like, really? Really? Like if I was them, I'd be like, I gotta go in hiding because everything that goes wrong in everyone's life, they're gonna blame me.
And and also like, I haven't thought about that before, but like the grieving that probably as they had, you know, their children and their children had children and like seeing what they had experienced and now what sin has brought, like, you know, the constant like reminders of like what it could have been or should have been.
Oh my gosh.
The warning.
To know that you were tricked and then to watch your son get tricked only to kill your other son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's like, you're like, that is a generational pattern if ever there was one, that's for sure.
And so, we're going to be experiencing the reversal of all of it. And that's what's incredible.
Yeah.
Again, beyond, we don't even really have words to describe it because as soon as we try to use words, it's like, you can't describe it because it's beyond our imagination.
Yep.
So
I want to, but I can't.
So we can suffice it to say it's going to be incredible. And we are, you know, as Christians, we are living in light of eternity, even though we live here and now. It's about, yes, this earth is not our home, but also like we're told like part of Jesus's kingdom is bringing heaven into the here and now, like bringing heaven to earth. We pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's interesting because everything's like veiled and everything's a shadow, but we still get to see glimpses of it here and there. Yeah. And the full reality is going to be more than we can even fathom.
Yeah. And like, I think if Paul, who saw this and saw that, could look at every Christian, he would say, it's worth it. Wait it out. Whatever difficulty he puts you through, whatever challenges are in front of you, live for his glory. Do the right thing. Don't fall, you know, say no to sin. It will all be rewarded and made worth it. Just be patient. What is like 75 or 80 or 90 years versus an eternity? He's like, just chill out. Trust me. Trust him. Keep going. Don't give up. You're going to see this. It's going to be fine. Yeah. It'll be more than fine. It'll be incredible.
That's a great final word of encouragement. So thank you. Mm-hmm.